Welcome to the best of the RSN Breakfast Club. Here's a little bit of what we did. Take a listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Breakfast Club on RSN 927. Great to be with you on a Friday morning, our final show for 2018. And you might be thinking, hang on a second, that sounds a little bit different because we're not in the studio today. We are, in fact, in the lounge room at George's house. It's the Summer of George on the Breakfast Club, and we are very excited because what's going to be coming your way today is worthy of a final show in anyone's discussions. And we've got a lot to get through. Plenty happening. We might just keep it down a little bit too because there's kids sleeping in the house. There are kids currently sleeping in the house. George says it's not a problem, but I think it's a little bit of a problem. A massive program to come to sign off on 2018. The Early Mail Hall of Fame ceremony will be held later on this hour. A very exciting moment with one very, very special induction and elevation to legend status. Never been done before. One and only induction of legend in the Early Mail Hall of Fame. Do not miss that a little bit later on this hour. After 7 o'clock, the Friday Form. Dean Lester, the world's greatest form analyst. George, the second world's greatest. George, the man, he's at the back. He's just doing his form at the moment. Just giving a bit of feedback to the team here. Trent Lansgar will join us from the tab as well. After 7.30, Scotty Gallon from the Herald Sun will join us as well for a bit of Friday fun and frivolity as we sign off on 2018. After 8 o'clock, Steve Horvat, who is one of the big, big presences behind the new A-League group, the Western Melbourne group, that was awarded yesterday the A-League licence to get involved and try and grow the game in Australia along with the MacArthur West Sydney, South Sydney bid as well. A lot to get through on a busy morning. If you want to get involved, 1300 652 927 is the number to call. 0416 90 50 52 via the SMS. You can tweet us anytime you like at RSN Breakfast or get involved via Facebook. RSN Racing and Sport. We are deep in the bowels of the northern suburbs here at the Summer of George experience here on the Breakfast Club. And Adam White is more excited than any man I've ever seen. Good morning to you, White.
Well, good morning. You got gun shy.
I don't want to wake the kids.
He's about to go with the big. Good morning, everybody.
Tuck it in. Just bring it back.
We're not entirely sure, but we think there could be four or five people sleeping in this residence talking.
This is the problem. George, he's doing the count for me. Four, he says. I'm going to get George on shortly. I want to talk to him about that. So I had to pull it back a little bit. I don't want to wake too many people. I've got neighbours next door. We've got neighbours. George, we've got neighbours. In fact, George, jump on the headset, mate. We need to get you involved early doors here because we're going to do radio. We're going to have to talk into microphones. That's what we're going to do here, George. You know the deal. As we do that, Adam Romanaskas joins us, the former Bombers chief.
Good morning. Good morning. It's fantastic to be here. I've already had the tour. I've met the family through photos, so I feel very comfortable.
Are you going to the bedrooms?
Not quite that far, but I'm sure that will be later.
It's a very beautiful family too, and the patriarch is, of course, our man George, who we are very, very pleased that you've opened your house to us this morning, George. Thank you and welcome.
Welcome, everybody. It's a pleasure to have you up here. Now, I won't be as good as you. I'm not a professional person like you.
You're pretty
good.
But
I've been living in this place for 44 years.
44 years?
Yes, and when I first bought a block of land up here many, many years ago, it was just a vacant block of land, and the road wasn't made outside, and it cost $4,000, and now they're selling between $350,000 and $400,000.
Well, there's a block across the road, George, so I might buy that. Would you mind if I start? I'll move in.
I'd be delighted to have you up here, Daniel.
I'll move in.
Yes, it'll be a pleasure, because I get all the crap up there, because I got... You're going to have a bit of fun. I'm going to make this a very, very entertaining show. The reason I'm saying that, because I had the best grass on the street, and because I get all the crap from the other side, and my grass is not the same, you know. That's 44 years, so it's not too bad, you know.
You've got two men who love their grass here. This is right in their wheelhouse, George.
Yeah, well, I've got a bit of history about me. A lot of people probably ask about me.
They do.
A show going later on, when Dean Lester's on, because that's when I say nothing, because I've got a lot of time for Dean. Now, I come up here in 1960, we lived in Richmond.
Yep.
5 years in Richmond, 9 years in Reservoir, and the last 44 years up here. I've been up here 58 years. And in that time, I saw a lot of things happen, First of all, this was a dirt road, and I paid $4,000, like I said before, and 1,000 was for the council because they had to fix the roads, you know, and they gave me a cheque of $227 in those days, you know, talking about in a sense, you know, yeah, so that was a lot of money, you know. I went to the groceries and bought all the grocery shop just about, you know. Yes, and Dalton Road was a two-way traffic. Now, that's a one-way, you know. It's just gone, and if anybody hasn't taken a drive from here to Whittlesea, well, it's just a matter of time before you'll find Laylaw and Whittlesea will be one in another 10 years, I would say.
Well, it's blossoming out here. It's almost booming, Whitey, at this part
how
of the
How are you feeling about this morning, George? Are you excited, nervous?
I'm excited, you know, but I wasn't expecting anything like this. Now, if anybody at the age of 71, if anybody would tell me that RSN would be doing a live show from my lounge room, I would have laughed at him, you know, because really, it's something different, you know, and in life, you've got to take what's given to you, you know. And this was given to me, and I said, no, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to have those boys up here, and I'm quite sure we're going to have a nice, entertaining show. A lot of people are listening at the moment because of me.
Well, there's no doubt about that, George. Everywhere I go, the people say, what's George like? And I say, well, I don't know. I've never met him, but now I can say he's an outstanding man. And he hosts us for breakfast every morning.
Daniel, can I just say this? I spoke to Adam up here next to me quite a few times on the phone.
Was he bullying you? Did he harass you?
No. He's all right, you know. But the first time I saw him, you know, was yesterday.
What do you think?
Just be careful, George.
I expected to see him a bit slimmer, you know.
We've been expecting that for a couple of years, George, but we've been disappointed.
When I look at Adam Romanescu's up here, you know, God, he looks like he can play football again. I don't know if he still is.
That's right. Yeah. What about Daniel?
Is still looking good, man.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
positive
see.
Feedback, George.
As I said to Daniel before, the good average football up there. Jack Dyer used to say, you know. But he was good. He was above average.
Well, it's great to have you with us, George, and for you to host us today. It's a very special occasion for the Breakfast Club. Whitey's been on this for months. We've got to finish the year at George's house. He's been a big part of the show. We need to get to his house and just give him some love and get him a part of our world. Because, as you said, people ask about you.
Oh.
People, they do. They come up and say, what's going on with George? We didn't know until now. Now we can say he's got the veggies out the back.
You've got to understand.
Block of land across the road that people put crap on every morning.
Yeah. No, you've got to understand, Daniel, that, you know, years ago, this was not like it is. The format was different. It was a talkback radio and used to talk to the people, you know.
Yep.
Now, these days, it's slightly a bit different. The format has changed. But, yeah, I'm still...
You still listen to
in my wise, because there's two things I love, football and the racing, and that's why I'm on the station.
Well, what we'll do, shortly, you can take Rammer out the back.
Yes, I will.
Show him the grass and the vegetable garden.
I definitely will.
And just, you know, a bit of sort of Dom Burke. It's backyard type. Well, maybe not Dom.
Let's go with
Graham from Better Homes and Gardens.
Something like that. Yeah,
I'm a little bit more comfortable with Graham.
Yeah, let's leave Don out of this for today.
I think we're going to let Lamarty have a moment half.
Probably a little bit more appropriate.
He's a bit emotional. He's been his baby for a couple of months, as I said.
No doubt.
Finally been able to land it.
No doubt.
Land it. And what type's crossing duty today, George?
Well, today I'm not doing any crossing.
Oh, you ditched the crossing because of the Christmas party.
Well, I'll be there at the annual general meeting, which is today at 10 o'clock. I will be there. So you people will have to leave by 9:30.
Betty's going to have to pack up pretty quick.
No, you can stay because the wife is up here. I think she
was there Gloria before? She was floating around?
Yeah, she's up.
Does the wife help you with the form, George?
Yes, she is.
Definitely not.
Morning, Gloria. Yeah. We're waking her up. We've got a welcome from Gloria. That's very nice. It's wonderful to have the family hosting us today. Who else have we got in the house, George?
I've got my second daughter, which is Debbie, you know, and the two boys.
Right, Debbie and the boys.
Jared and Marcus, you know, and they're the two. And that's it, you know, myself and the wife, five of us. It's, it's quite good.
And how often does that happen? How often do you get the family sleeping over?
Only once I had all seven grandkids, and I said never again. God. Of course, you've got to understand, you know, they range from the age of 5 to 18.
Right.
So that means you can't tell off the little ones because they don't understand anything. You can only pick on the older boys, you know. And the older boys, they said, Dello is grandpa, you know, in Macedonian, in case you're wondering what I am, you know.
Macedonian, right, we're going to get to that.
Yeah, that's fine. And they said, we don't do anything. It's, Yeah, but I said, I can't tell the little ones anything, I said, because they don't understand. I have to tell you people so you can be, you know, they can behave. That's how it works.
Nice, system, good system. Speaking of Macedonia, now my hero as a kid was Peter Dacos, yes. The Macedonian Marvel. Is he a sort of a god in the Macedonian community?
He's big time. Peter is, you know, and unfortunately I spoke to Peter for quite a while, you know, in Elizabeth Street in the city. I saw him up there because he was, the poor fellow, he was playing with needles, you know. Mm. He had his thongs on and his, from the needles, you know, his leg down the bottom was blue, you know, and I said, Peter, why don't you take a year off, I said, and come back, you could play another 3 or 4 years. He reckons, Tom Murphy at the time, the late Tom Murphy, said to him, Peter, even if you're only 75%, you're still better than most of these footballers, which is true. You know, he can, you know, turn a football on top of a table. I'm telling you right now.
He's a superstar, Peter Dacos. And have you gotten over the grand final, George? We haven't asked you about that for a while.
Well, I haven't actually, but really, because
I can see the pain in your face, George.
I they play very well, and if they played like they played the first quarter, they would have won it. Unfortunately, they played one good quarter, and that was the first quarter. The second quarter, they broke out even, and the last. To the, you know, I think West Coast were a much better side. And let's face it, there were 63 scoring shots to 48, and West Coast should have won much easier. But 5 points, that's a honourable loss. But who cares, you know? Nobody cares about if you lose the grand final.
Second place, first loser, Rammer.
Percentages suggest Collingwood lose grand finals. They've been there 45 times.
Why would you say that today in front of George?
No, I was going to say.
That's the truth.
No, I've got to be fair. They made the grand final 45 times. They won 15 premierships. And Essendon and Carlton won more. Admittedly, you've got something to do with Carlton at the moment, Daniel.
It's a driving generation forward there,
yes,
George.
And, but they cheated a little bit at the end.
Hey, come on.
Oh, come on. They never recovered since. They're still recovering at the moment.
But they got me that year, George, as a result. So it was a good result for the boys.
Yeah, there you are. The women are looking good. Yeah.
They are looking good. Hey, speaking of looking good, you're looking good. And John on the road wants to talk to you, I think. 1-300-652-927. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. Just want to wish you all and George, Merry Christmas, mate, and a Happy New Year. And let's go to the Bombers next year.
Well, George, I want your feedback on it. Thank you, John, for the wishes, by the way. Mm. What about the Bombers, George?
The Bombers, actually, last year, I tipped them to make the top eight. Unfortunately, a couple of injuries along the way, and there wasn't, you know, at the end, they finished off very well, but they lost the plot somewhere in between where they lost to some bottom teams, you know, which is, if you can't beat the bottom teams, you don't expect to make the top eight, you know, that's as simple as that, you know, that's where they lost it, but I honestly believe they recruited well, so they should, it should be going much better this year. I think they've been the top eight. Whether they're top four material, I don't know.
Good on you, John. That's good feedback for you and your Bombers for 2019. And thank you again for your wishes for Christmas. It is going to be a big show today. We've got a lot to get through. There's the Summer of George, which is really ramping up. And we've also got some Test cricket to talk about. Are you into cricket, George?
Not as much, you know. I don't know. I find it very disturbing. You know, I went to Pakistan versus Australia in a 50 over game, you know.
Yep.
And it was so damn hot, you know, halfway through the game. I said, we can't stay here anymore, you know, so we decided to leave, you know. It's not, cricket is, I prefer football because you got 2 or 3 hours, bend the elbow with the boys and, you know.
Bend the elbow with the boys.
That's how it is, you know.
That's a good afternoon, I reckon, George. We've sent our man Adam Ramanaskas on location for Rammer's Tomato Tours out the backyard. There's a big garbage, and the garbage, there's garbage across the road. Garbage across the road that keeps getting thrown, says George. A vegetable patch out the back, and Rammer is going to lead us through what's happening out the back with George. Rammer, over to you for your tomato tours.
I'm out on location here for the morning harvest, and it's unbelievable. You want to see perfect lines in this in the veggie patch out here, George. What do we got in the garden for this summer?
Well, we've got a few things up here, but to all the listeners, if you're going to plan anything, first Tuesday in November is the Melbourne Cup. Start your planning on the same week, you know, and that's when you get the best results because they want hot weather and nothing grows up if it's not hot. Now, I've got peppers, tomatoes, cucumbers, corn, zucchinis, and I pulled out all the grapes yesterday. I had a feeling it was going to rain, you know, so I pulled all the onions yesterday because they're a good size, and if they get too wet and when they're dry, usually they go soft and you're going to have to throw them away. And I got some beans planted last week, and they come up already beautifully, you know. So really, the garden is looking very good. All we want is a bit hot weather now, and that's it.
Now, George, the secret to all good veggie patches is the soil. What do you mix in with the soil? Is it just, is it all natural, or do you put a bit of blood and bone in there? What do you do?
Yeah, put a bit of everything. We've got I dig it up three times a year, you know. That's turn the soil upside down, and I usually put about 1.5 meters of mushroom manure, and I just mix it up every year, and that's what it is, you know. And they come up, and it's good results, as you can see.
And now one last one. I see a couple of Adam White's old CDs hanging in the breeze up there. Celine Dion, I see up there. What's the go with the CDs hanging in the air?
Well, I tell you what happened. The birds love food. They got to eat like the human beings, and they used to love the tomatoes and everything that's on the veggie garden, you know. So when the sun is out, you see all these, you know, the flesh is on top of the disc, and the birds disappear, and they leave my veggies alone.
Hey, Rama, what about the grass? Are you happy with the grass?
Well, the grass is fantastic. What's most impressive, I think, about the grass, George, is the edging.
Well, that's right. You know, most people use a whippersnipper. I use a roller, you know, and it's a nice straight line. And, you know, this grass is 44 years old. That's the time I've been living up here, and it's still nice and strong. I can't complain.
It's got a lot of good stories I can tell this grass, Whitey. But, look, I've already had a taste of the tomatoes, half, and they are absolutely sensational. So I'll leave it. I'll throw it back to you, but I might stay out here for a little bit of breakfast.
All right, Rama's tomato tours well in swing there at the back of George's house. A lot of tomatoes. There's a lot of zucchinis and cucumbers. The corn was a surprise.
It is outstanding out there. I was out there for quite a while yesterday. It's very impressive. George is, he talks the talk, but he walks the walk. The grass is excellent. It's on a low, cut on very low level.
Good.
The Fast edges were, because of course, Sunday here, it's 47 people.
47 people for that's right, yeah. The Festival of George and the Summer of George continues on Sunday for the family occasion.
Yeah.
Well, that's great news. Rama's done a great job out the back there. The edging is important. I'm all for the pizza cutter. I think that's the way to go, not the whippersnipper. I think George has nailed it there with his edging. That's a real winner for me. Real winner. And we are ready for the Friday Form. We're at headquarters tomorrow to finish off the Breakfast Club's Friday Form segment for 2018. And Dean Lester is the world's greatest form analyst. He joins us for the last time in 2018. Dino, good morning.
Good morning, Daniel.
Great to have you with us. Now, it's a special occasion today because we've got a gentleman with us who has sat next to me, and he said, "This is the highlight of my life." George. Welcome, George.
Welcome, Daniel, and welcome, Dean. I honestly believe this. This is definitely my highlight because to be on radio with you, it's never been heard of before anyway. And to me, you not only give a lot of winnings to the general public, but equally you do a lot of work for charities, and I'm talking about one of your charities, which is, I forgot.
The good one. The good one.
The National Jockeys Trust, George.
Jockeys Trust, that's what it is.
There's another one too.
He's a man, he's a giver,
yeah.
Is what we love about Dino, and we love the fact that you love this. The fact that you've got your grandkids and your daughters here, and this is your greatest moment, that's slightly concerning, I must say, George, but it's a very special occasion.
No, Glory didn't hear that, George.
No, Dean, you're a legend, believe me. You do a lot of good things, and there's not many people like you, you know, and to have a status of a legend, that's excellent.
Thank you, George. I'm very nervous working with you, I've got to say.
No.
I've heard you on the radio for a lot longer than me, I think, so.
Well, we've got two of the greatest going head-to-head here. Well, not head-to-head, we're all in one direction here. We're a team.
We're a team.
Finding winners. We're finding winners together here today for the Early Mail. Trent Langscale joins us from the TAB. Welcome to George's house, Trent.
Thank you, Harv. Yeah. This is a very nice setting. The Christmas decorations already out, making me feel a bit bad. I've got nothing set up at home. My mum would be appalled looking above.
What I did notice, Trent, with great interest, is normally when you come in, there are hot beverages for the team.
Yeah.
Was the fact that there's 45 people here the concern, to be able to get that tray in through the door?
Apologies for that. Not the one that rang the doorbell. I didn't realise we could sneak down the side. I've woken up the kids this morning.
It's a full house here at George's for the last edition of the Friday Form. We've got headquarters tomorrow, team. Let's get our teeth into that. For those playing for the first time, welcome. But what we do is have a bit of a look at the quaddy legs for the next day's play. And we are, as I mentioned, at Flemington tomorrow for a good race card too, Dino. We've got 9 races for the day. The first leg of the quaddy is race number 6 over the 1,720 metres, the time honoured. And we've got 14 going around. Declares War for DK Weir with Mark Zara in the saddle. I'm not sure how often that happens. Is favourite at $3.30 at tab.com.au.
Yeah, it happens a bit. He's a bit of a pinch hitter for Darren Weir. He's had a group run success for him, and he's on a very smart horse here in Declares War. This is a harder race for the three-year-old, but gee, he was impressive last week, and I think he'll be very hard to beat. I think there's a really good roughie in this race in Navasha, who had no luck at all, number 14 at Moonee Valley. That's the race that Five Kingdom comes through, who's the top weight here and going very well, and I think he's a chance. And I'd be giving little chances to numbers 4 and 5, but I think 9, 14 and 1 are my main ones, and I don't want to take too many because I know the $8 quaddy is in fashion with George. So 9, 14 and 1 are my main chances there.
Right. Before we get to Trent, George, what are you thinking for the first leg of the quaddy, please?
Well, I've got two of those, you know. I've got Five Kingdom, which, you know, Five Kingdom and one... two consecutive races, and he won them quite well. And the other one is Declares War with Mark Zara. Mark Zara's got a couple of them, you know, for Darren Weir. And really, the top two trainers are Darren Weir and David and his son, you know. And they do a very, you know, they're the ones you've got to stick with, you know. Stick with the strength, you can't go wrong.
Right, so those two numbers.
One and nine for me.
One and nine are in Dino's top three there, so that's a good push for those two. Trent, what's the money saying? Are they coming thick and fast now that George and Dino are on board?
Well, they're coming for Declares War Half, open 4:40 on Wednesday, and now all the way into 3:30. One of the best supported on the card at Flemington tomorrow. Five Kingdom, just out of shade from 6 to 8. You've got Lorokane at 8.50. Ryan's Fender's one that's had some specking, 12 into 9. And then it's 9.50 or better the rest. Just throwing in that Dino didn't mention, he did mention Novatia. Currently 19 the win and 5 the place. One there for the exotics. But
19. Very nice. Righty-o, that's number 14 in Dino. 9, 14, 1. Maybe throwing 4 and 5, says Dino, for the first leg of the quaddy. Novatia at... not, what was it, $19?
19 the win, 5 the place.
Second pick.
Righty-o, okay. That is an each-way special, surely, for us tomorrow at headquarters. That's the first leg of the quaddy done. We need the second leg. It's over the 1,100 metres. 14 going around, Dino. We've got equal favourites, according to tab.com.au. And, of course, being down the straight, the barriers might play a part. 13 with Native Soldier, number 6, is $4.80, as is Whispering Brook. Also from the Weir Yard at a barrier too, so different ends of the barrier scale.
Yeah, Darren Weir's got 3 drawn out wide and 1 drawn to the inside. So he's certainly got both sides of the straight track covered, as you say, Half. I think that the two equal favourites are the two better chances. Native Soldier, I imagine he's freshening up for a summer campaign. I'd imagine he's probably Magic Millions bound the way he's come back in at this time of year. But he's a very good horse. Whispering Brook, she's an absolute beauty first up. So I think they're two very good chances. I think Thermal Current, we've seen him very effective down the straight. I think he'll run well. And outside of the Weir team, I think probably horses like Invincible L and Holby and numbers 9 and 10 have got a good chance. But, yeah, I'll be more than happy to be going with the three of Darren Weir's in numbers 2, 4 and 6.
2, 4 and 6 for Dino in the second leg of the quaddy. George, what are you thinking, please?
Well, I agree with one of Evan, number 4, Whispering Brook. But I also go for number 9, Invincible L, with the apprentice on it and Punch. Climbing 3, it's coming in with 51 kilos. Man, it's got nothing on its back and it should go pretty well.
And it's a Hall of Famer horse too, Paddy Payne, with Invincible L. So that gives it a bit of polish as well, Dino.
Yeah, it does indeed. And he does like the straight track Invincible L. So yeah, he's a player for sure.
He's one of the extended numbers for Dino.
He's feeling a bit more confident here, George. Comfortable starting to work into your job here?
Just working with Dino, you know, it's unbelievable. It's a dream come true, you know. At my age, at 71, I'm a bit nervous, actually, speaking to you with Dino. And that charity I was thinking before was Diabetes Australia. I'm sorry about that, but I lost it, you know. I just lost it completely when I was talking to Dino.
You're doing a good job, George. You're doing a hell of a job. Stay with us. Trent, the market for race number 7, please, the second leg of the quaddy.
Well, you touched on $4.80 equal favourites, Whispering Brook and Native Soldier. Whispering Brook has actually been easy from 420 to the 480, and Native Soldier pretty constant around the $4.80, $5 mark. Invincible Owl, I reckon George has already had something. 8 into 650 since Wednesday. You've got Holbein at 8, Fell Swoop 950, and Dino also touched on the Thermal Current, who was rated 950. That's a tough leg of the quaddie. Even George might need to put more than two in that leg.
Is that the two? Is this part of the two $8 quaddie?
Well, that's what I spend, because to me it's a challenge. You know, a lot of people can put, you know, six on one and six on the other and six on the other. That's you know, they get the multi quaddie, but pays about 2% and destroys it for the professional punters like me.
Even the heavy's got a giggle out of that one. They're in protection mode out there, but they got a bit of a giggle there, George. Well played to you. That is the second leg of the quaddy done. We're halfway through the Flemington quaddy tomorrow. We've got the world's greatest form analyst and his apprentice, Adam Lester. And George?
George liked that one.
It's a good gag. The $8 quaddy is alive and well for George. We're going a little bit wider than that normally with Dino and Trent. Let's get to race number three. The Make-A-Wish Australia Trophy, 2,540 metres, the benchmark 78 affair. Dino, we've got 15 going around and a pretty big field. In fact, good-sized fields tomorrow at headquarters. And Chappelle from Barrier 17 is the favourite for Tony McEvoy and Luke Curry at tab.com.au. But it's a pretty open market.
And it should be an open market too, Daniel. It's a very tough race. I thought that one at double-figure odds had a good chance here in California Grand Cru. I think he's a really strong stayer. He won well last start. He actually beat Chappelle in that race. And they're both on the limit weight here, and one's drawn 7, one's drawn 17, one's three times the price of the other. So I just think California Grand Cru represents terrific value. I think the mares here, Earth Angel and Pleasuring, they ran 1-2 in the South Australian Classic back in May. For a benchmark 78, I think that's reasonable form. So I'm including both of them, numbers 9 and 1. And I think the other weir runner, the Gadding Ball's got a chance. But, yeah, you could go a lot wider here, I'd imagine. But my top four are 11, 9, 1 and 6.
11, 9, 1 and 6. Great name, the Gadding Ball, just by the way. Just evokes wonderful imagery, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, he's, and off his pedigree too. He's, by Hard Spun out of Active Deception.
Oh, that is an outstanding name.
Yeah.
Well done, whoever came up with that, the owners of the Gadding Ball. Hard Spun out of Art of Deception, the Gadding Ball. Fantastic. George?
Yes?
Your numbers, please.
My numbers will be 9 and 10. Earth Angel, I think Hayes and Williams will have a good day again. You know, Williams is a top, you know, he just gets in the right position all the time and they always got a chance. And I went for the favourite too, number 10, you know, it's Chappelle, you know. I know it's drawn a bit wide, but Flemington is the best track in the business, and they can get over it.
Right, 9 and 10 there,
so,
for George.
So George, just the two? I mean, Dino thought it'd be a bit wide there. You narrowed down quite comfortably.
Yeah, well, that's my policy. I only take 2 by 2 by 2 by 2. Sometimes I only take one in one particular one, but the fields are so strong tomorrow, I decided to take 2 by 2 by 2 by 2, and that'll give you 50% of if they do come up.
And that's what these pro punters do, so
that's spot on, Dino.
I will not take the limelight from Dino. Dino is his segment at the moment. He's won a lot of money for a lot of listeners, and me, I just do my small part up here, and that's all that's going to be, a small part.
I don't think after all these years I've ever heard you lost for words, but you're just sort of a bit, you're tremoring a bit here.
Oh, well, you know, you're talking with one of the greatest, you know, and that's not easy.
So we're in the presence of greatness, as we well know every Friday on The Breakfast Club. Trent Leesgale, what's the market suggesting for race number 8? It does seem a very open market. Dino suggested that. And the fact that he's got California Grand Cru, who's about $16, as his topper selection, interests me greatly.
A very tough market here, half. You do have Chappelle, who's been just 550 out to 6, but holding favouritism. Earth Angel, just 8 into 7. But you've got Mazaz at 750, Captain Rhett a little easy, 750, the Gadding Ball at 8, Goodwood Zodiac at 850, and yes, as you scroll down, California Grand Cru, 16 the win, 480 the place on top for Dino.
This is Christmas 101, this is. We know that Dino's a big big holiday specialist too.
Yes.
Easter. We've got Merriest up.
That was last year.
That was last year. I'm still living off that. I've still got some left in the coffers from that one. So he likes big moments, Dino. We understand that through his work through the spring as well. So California Grand Cru in that league and the last show of the year, I reckon we're onto something there. So 11-9-1-6 for Dino. Throw in 10 if you want to play with George's numbers as well. And that's the market from Trent. We get to the last, Dino, of the 1,100 metres. The Phillies and Mares benchmark 84. Three-year-old and up. We've got, what have we got? 15 after the scratching of Regimen for James Cummings. But we go down to I Am A Queen for the Buss and Young combination at $5 as favourite at tab.com.au.
Yeah, it was very impressive on Ballarat Cup Day half. The interesting thing here is that the two favourites probably will be I Am Queen and Twitchy Frank. They've drawn barriers 1 and 2, so you just want to know by this stage of the day if that's the place to be down the straight. If it is, they're certainly right in play. But I think True Excelsior might be the one here. She didn't have a great spring. She had a really good first up run, a poor second up run, and then on Derby Day was really luckless. Freshened up, trialled very well at Geelong recently in the gate crasher colours for Mytho. I think True Excelsior's got a tremendous winning chance. I think there's a fantastic roughie here in number 15, Warrigal. Was a good win last start on Wodonga Cup Day, and I just think it's massive odds and well worth including. But I'll be putting in horses like Nantali, number 2, who's good odds. The favourite, I Am Queen, number 13, has got a little chance, certainly. And Phil the Flute has won its last 4. This is a bit harder, but it's got a chance as well. But I think 3 will be very hard to beat, and 15's the good roughie.
Right, yeah, 3 hard to beat. So quite declaring it, but very hard to beat, says Dino, in the last league of the quaddie. George, what's your numbers, please?
My numbers are 4 and 13. Phil the Flute, winning form is a good form. I can't go past it, you know. It's Jamie Edwards and Dwayne Dunner. A great combination. That should be all right. And I Am A Queen, it's a hard L the other day. I have to have it inside my top 2.
Righto.
Yeah, so can I just say, I like to go back to race number 7. There's a horse up there which coming back after a spell called Huss and Eagle. It runs very well fresh, and at $19, it's worth a bit of risk in your quadrillas.
Hang on a second, you didn't put it in your numbers. You had 9 and 10.
Well, actually, it's right down the bottom. I put it after, you know.
It's his value bet.
What sort of shop are you running in, George?
For quadrilla punters, you know, Huss and Eagle. First, coming back after a spell, and he normally runs very well fresh, and believe me, Petty Pan, he's not a bad trainer.
He's into 33% now, George.
Now, hang on, let's clear this up for the punters.
Yes.
Are we going at 2x3 by 2x2 now?
No, we're going to go 2x2 by 2x2 by 2x2, but if anybody wants to throw in Huss and Eagle in race 7, please do so.
Righto, okay. All right, a bit of feedback for George. What's the last market for us, Trent, please?
I Am Queen is the $5 favourite. You've got Twitchy Frank at $5.50. True Excelsior at 6. Phil the Flute has been a little easy in the market, currently 6. The other galloper in single figures is Essence of Terror at 9. But Dino's mentioned a couple. I'm looking at Nantali, who is 15 to win, 4.20 to place.
15?
And even Warrigal, 31 to win, 8 to place. And he has that as his second selection.
This could be a real sort of fill-up moment for our punters for the quarter tomorrow. We've got some terrific value in Dino's selections. Even George is throwing in that best bets outside of his quaddie numbers, which does seem a touch odd, I must admit.
Oh, well, look, it's going to cost you $12 if you're going to throw that in. So you might as well chuck in another $4 and put the Huss and Eagle in there. It's got a slim, very, slim chance.
It's Christmas. Spend another $4.
That's it.
Yeah, another four bucks.
We don't know what happens tomorrow, so that's it.
That's a bloody good call that too, George, I reckon. Spot on. I'm all over that method. Righto, so that is the quaddie done for tomorrow at Flemington with our numbers from Dino and with George as well. Trent's given us the latest markets. Dino, for the last time in 2018, can I please have a formula bet?
It is for Daniel Woodward of Diamond Creek. For Daniel, we are having $40 the win on race 3, number 2, Mascolino, $40 the win on race 9, number 3, True Excelsior, and $40 on the pair of the all-up, race 3, number 2, into race 9, number 3, for Daniel Woodward of Diamond Creek.
Just down the road, not too far away, Diamond Creek, across the highway there. For Dan, race 3, number 2, Trent into race 9, number 3. What does that come up to, please, for Dino's formula bet?
Mascolino, $3.40 the present moment. True Excelsior, 6. The double comes out to $20.40.
Oh, $20 double, George.
Beautiful.
You happy with that?
Excellent. Yeah. And he gets quite a few, Dino. He's a class actor, what can I say?
And what we love, again, Rammer, as part of the formula bet, we're outside of the quaddie league.
Agree.
So we've got another one, race 3, number 2, with Mascolino. We Love that stuff from Dino when he does. He sneaks it in. Doesn't tell us about it. He just sneaks it in outside the quaddy legs. Dino, you're an absolute star. We love you almost as much as George does. It's hard to get to that level of love, but we do love you, and we thank you for all the work you've done with us in 2018. Have a great Christmas to you and yours, and we look forward to spending a lot of time with you again in 2019 on the Early Mail and the Breakfast Club and the Friday Form.
Thank you, Daniel, and all the best to you and everyone, and we'll be on next week.
You'll be on next week, just not without us.
Hey, George, have you got any sort of final message for Dino?
No, Dino, do what you're doing at the present moment. You make a lot of people happy. And I want to take this opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year.
And to you, George, and to think you've got an outside broadcast at your place, it's great listening.
Good stuff, Dino. Thank you. We hear more from him across the weekend, of course, on RSN 927, but it is curtains for him on the Breakfast Club for 2018, because it's time for us to have a spell after this.
You happy with that, George?
Very happy. Thank you very much for everything.
Good on you, George. Well played. That quaddy leg's going to be good. We've extended George's quaddy today. The 2x3x2x2 is very different to the 2x2x2x1. The $8 gone to 12 for 50%, but he can land it.
George is... He's giving high fives to his whole family as he's walking into the kitchen.
Well, the heavies...
I think it's that relief.
Straight to Scotty Gullen.
The heavies are emotional. I can see misty eyes over there for the heavy brigade. They're having a very good time over there. They've seen his man on air with his legend status hero in Dean Lester. And it's an emotional time for all of us here.
He was probably a bit straighter than I thought he'd be, George. I think it's just the weight.
Oh, intimidation.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Dino's not easy, mate.
No, he's out in the kitchen with Scotty Gullen now. I think he's got more to give.
Scotty Gullen's entrance was interesting. We'll talk about that shortly. Trent, before we leave, have you got a best bet for us?
Well, we've got Quinny's here.
Oh, don't give us Quinny's. Give us yours.
Interesting. Fair enough. Then we'll throw Quinny away. Now, usually when he goes against Dino, it ends in tears, and I'm actually going to do it as well.
Oh, this is controversial.
Yes. Race 9, number 4, Phil the Flute, 6 the win, 2:30 the place, and George likes Phil the Flute, so why not go in too?
Scotty Gullen from the Herald Sun has joined us on the Breakfast Club this morning. He's made his way from Barwon Heads out to the beautiful northern suburbs of Melbourne. He's had a hell of a time doing it. Morning, Scotland.
Morning, Daniel. Yes, it's great to be here. As something goes wrong.
Just a little bit of feedback.
Yes, it's Layla, aren't we? We're definitely here. I didn't believe...
We are definitely here, that's correct.
Well, I got a text message yesterday from our leader with photos of George, and I thought, this is taking the mickey, because I hadn't really heard since it was mentioned last week, and then I checked with our intrepid producer, who goes, no, this is not a setup.
It's not a setup.
You won't drive to Layla just for the fun of it. So it's good. It's very beautiful. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, your entrance has caused a stir.
No,
Because family and friends go down the side and around the back.
Yeah, well, friends, exactly.
Newcomers and acquaintances come through the front door. Well, you've just decided that you're basically family.
In my role as a journalist, you sort of review situations, you make a decision, and I'd heard Slugger had done the front door, doorbell.
Wake up the entire house.
I'm professional radio, don't want outside noise, so I just sniffed out the back, had a look at the tomato plants, and casually got in the door. A few interesting looks from the
poor old Gloria didn't know what was going on. The heavy stepped in very quickly.
The heavy stepped in, but then they went, oh, yes, you found it. We're here. So it's good.
We're here.
We're very happy.
Are very happy. And what you've done today is interesting too, because not only have you made an entrance and disturbed Gloria's day, but on the back in the score, back page in the score, you've talked about something that our two learned gentlemen, our learned friends here, are very much into.
Yes, the whisper in Australia's most read column was, lawn porn has become a social media phenomenon, which I think we already knew. But there's an AFL club who have a little secret society happening, a WhatsApp page that's dedicated to what the two Adams here love. And apparently people try and get in this, and they go, no, not good enough. There's some dry areas, you're out. And it's taken very seriously by these boys. So you two gentlemen can relate to this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's at least half a dozen of them,
I'm told. Some players, they need a little hobby.
Yes.
And a bit of grass maintenance is important.
Well, it's taken off at this one AFL club.
Because I know Sam Jacobs is very, very big on his grass, the Adelaide Crows player. So not as good as George is out the back, but very, very close.
Have you two gentlemen started something similar?
Maybe we should. Well, Rammer's probably isn't quite in the sort of category of mine. He's sort of got a bit of work to do.
Mine's got some stories.
What so, have you been poisoned?
Well, it's had some parties on there and all sorts of stuff.
There's none of that at Whitey's house.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was getting to.
You're going
to
rise above
my
that.
My lawn can talk. My lawn can talk.
You're going to rise above that.
Whitey's is lucky to have a footprint on it.
The MCG has Bon Jovi concerts on it and still
and
is able
responds.
To. It responds. So you've got to have that craft, that grass craft, the grass craft to be able to overcome that sort of thing.
One object that I've never been able to overcome, my next door neighbour, lovely couple, Leo and Valerie, but right on my fence, he's got the big gum tree.
Oh, it's just draining all the fluid.
Yeah. Well, I can't work it out.
Poison the tree.
See the attitude?
Such
disdain. No wonder your neighbours don't like you and want you out of the area.
No, that's not right at all. But
if you're complaining
about the gum tree, get rid of it.
I can't just go and poison the tree. I'm not going to put the copper nail in there, am I? Or drill the hole and put the poison in there.
Well, you clearly thought about it.
You've looked up how you do it.
I know, Zach. Don't worry. I know exactly how to do it.
So how much of a lawn can
what we're getting to from the heavies is the nod of approval.
Oh, no. All sorts of stuff goes on here.
Heavies have got a very just...
Can you enter lawn porn if half of your lawn's good, or is there a certain amount...
It's a package.
It can't be a patch that's immaculate.
No, it's got to all be...
Whitey gets upset when his kids are playing on the...
We cordoned off the goal square this year because it was just too much traffic.
What did the downpour yesterday do? Did that get you excited?
I was disappointed in myself, actually. Because
you had mode? Or
no, well, what happened is on Wednesday...
How serious is it?
Oh, mate.
No. What happened on Wednesday is kids swimming and
distracted.
I just got home a touch too late. And I just couldn't get the mower over it quick enough. So
I have lights? This out.
I mowed Saturday, so I'm okay. I wanted to mow Wednesday, let the rain really soak into it yesterday, but I just didn't get the chance Wednesday night.
See, if you'd done that, you would have then cut it Sunday after the rain event of the next few days is finished. Then you just get the lovely thick cut.
Yeah.
Probably a double cut, and you're set up nicely for Christmas. I mean,
sorry, Daniel, that I've started.
Well, my concern is that there's been advertising eating into your column. Today.
Yeah, no, that,
you've only got two-thirds of a column.
And it's the last for the year, so it's not exactly a farewell bang. So
this is the last of the year?
Well. Yeah.
Last score?
I need to have a fresh
surely we're going to have a Christmas Day one.
No, they wanted a year-ender, and I denied it. I just said no.
Knocked it on the head.
Too much work, basically. I've got to go to Layla. I've got lots of them. Okay. I need to take a lot of time to figure this out.
The interest in the grass at the moment is actually over in Perth.
Yes.
With the suggestions that the curator has sort of gone a bit rogue, potentially.
Yeah, but...
This is what the curator said.
I don't mind...
Brett Sipthorpe.
He's got a good profile there, man.
He's doing it beautifully.
A good cricketer and local footballer in Melbourne.
He said this feedback has come through from Cricket Australia while we're talking grass. What did you say?
Trouble for this.
They want to see this place fly. That's like an early Christmas present to me, to get that fear in the eyes of the opposition turning up and seeing it fly. Beautiful, Sipthorpe told the local paper. Now, CA have vehemently denied any sort of feedback or instruction to our man, Brett.
Why can't they just say, yes, Perth, we want the old Perth? That's basically what they said.
But that's what they want.
Well, why deny?
Because I think that the curator may have been a little bit emotive in his language, but I think if that's what he's done, if that's what the curator has done, then well done to the curator. Because that is what we want. We want the characteristics of the whacker at this new stadium. And when the ball is flying and there is fear in the eyes of the batsman, that's what makes for entertaining
cricket.
That's
what the CA unnamed spokesman should say. We said we want each ground to have its original characteristics.
But that is the direction from Cricket Australia.
Yeah, well, they sort of said that.
They said, we work with all our venues to ensure pitchers deliver a competitive match between ball and bat in all test matches. Yada, yada. That we see different characteristics in our wickets across our country is unique in world cricket, and we should celebrate this and give freedom to our curators to bring them to the fore. But they have vehemently denied the claims that there's been doctoring.
Well, how that photo, that's as green as the grass next to it.
Well, that was yesterday, so they'll cut that today, and we often see a green wicket
green
24
monster.
Hours out, and it becomes quite a, what do they call it? It's bruised leaf.
Bruised leaf
on the day of the test match. So I'd expect to be seeing a much browner surface this afternoon, 1:20 Australian Eastern Summer Standard Time.
Correct.
But don't we want to see, because one of the problems with Test cricket now in this country is that three of the five main venues have drop-in pitches.
Yeah.
And they become very similar in the way the games are played. So if we're talking about Adelaide and Melbourne. Now, Adelaide changed it up a bit And we talked to the curator, Damien Hoff, last week about it was almost by accident that they had to change things because of the day-night test cricket. And all of a sudden we had better cricket play. Melbourne, they've had their troubles and they're trying things. You know, I think that Matt Page is doing a great job in at least trying different grasses and different rolling techniques, different preparation to try and improve the situation. If the Wacker came out and just was the same as the Adelaide Oval, we don't want that.
But if we save pace, why is that so worrying? Is it going to move as well?
I've said this at the start of the program. I reckon there is a genuine fear from the Indians that they will be terrified by what they've seen. And Virat Kohli is publicly coming out almost trying to convince himself and his teammates that they'll be okay on it. They won't be okay on that.
So this should be Finch just cutting it over first slip for six. All that sort of stuff should
be. Wasn't there a stat after the first test? If you look at the average speeds for bowlers of both teams, the Indians were actually bowling faster than the Australians as an average. They were moving the ball further than the Australians. So I think we've got a little bit to worry about too.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, Bumrah was bowling 148 off eight steps.
Yep.
We know what Ishant Sharma can do. And as you say, they swing the ball. Now, Kumar will play this test match rather than the spinner. And he swings the ball around corners. So, absolutely, Ramat. You know, Australia's batsmen are going to have some problems as well. But the best chance of Australia winning a test match is for our bowlers to fire on a wicket that will actually provide bounce and pace. It brings them into the test match more than a dull drop-in pitch.
Have they made up an injury for Ashwin? Yep. Surely he plays.
Well, he's got a...
What's the excuse?
A report in your
abdominal strain.
You can bowl through that.
Oh, you want to bowl. He's bowling off his.
Oh, I agree with you. So they're made very up. Strange.
Who's the fourth seamer they got in?
Kumar will come in.
Are they not... No spinner?
No. Ooh,
interesting.
That's an error.
Wasn't Eman Yadav sort of coming into the squad?
No, he won't play.
Nathan Lyon's record at the Wacker, Whitey, was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nathan Lyon did well in the Shield game. So, you know, again, he does like the bounce and spin.
What about Hanuma Vihari, who's coming in for Rohit Sharma?
Oh, I know he's working.
He's not just a hack who comes in and averages 30 in Shield cricket. He averages nearly 60 in first class in List A cricket, and he's got a first class triple century to his name. So he's a serious bat, the all-rounder who's coming in for Rohit Sharma.
But this is the conversation that we had on Wednesday about the amount of players that India have simply got to choose from.
Mm.
Now, you're bringing in, like you said, a guy that's made a triple century in first class cricket. Go and find one of them in Australia.
Yeah.
Not too many of those.
So can Kohli hook? Is he a compulsive good hooker?
I wouldn't say he's compulsive.
I mean, he's batsman in the world.
He's the one that I think would cope with it probably.
He's going to want to try to take it on.
Yeah, but I'm just going on history. That
do you reckon Peter Hanscom will hook or not?
Well, after the last one.
It's the first ball. Yeah. I love compulsive hookers. just the best players.
I think we just got to put things into perspective that there was only 30 runs the difference in the first test. This test will be played differently. I don't think there's a lot between the two. I think India clearly bat better. I think Australia need to bowl better from first test. That's their strength. That's where they need to be better in conditions that suit.
If Tim Payne wins the flats or hills or whatever, what are you going to do, bowl?
I would bowl.
38 degrees again.
I know, but I think we've got to see what the pitch looks like today compared to yesterday, but their best chance of winning is doing what they couldn't quite do in the first test. They need to bowl them out for 100.
We're batting fourth. We can't do it. We're just mentally...
Yeah, but if we skittle them for 150, they make 400.
That doesn't happen. We know that.
No Ashwin to cause us mental dramas.
Okay.
I think that's their best chance of winning.
Interesting strategy.
38 degrees. It's hot now. It's bucketing down rain here in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, and my understanding is it's going to push its way over to the west.
Later in the test.
It's going to go the opposite.
Yeah, it's hot. But
half-time change sides.
Yeah, it's hot, but if they bowl them out in two sessions, those fast bowlers can rest their feet up in the final session.
Air-conditioned comfort.
Mm.
The Fremantle doctor doesn't get in, though, so the ball's not going to swing, is it?
No, it swung.
The doctor
over
did get it. Didn't the doctor get in the one
through
day?
A doorway? Yeah,
opened a couple of doors.
Opened a couple of doors, and it just found its way in. Hmm. I mean, the doctor found his way in on the one day against South Africa.
Just got a text coming from a few.
Oh,
tell Rama when there's 50 mils of rain predicted, you do whatever it takes. You mow at 10 o'clock in the night if you have to.
I understand that. I said I'm disappointed in myself.
One of those miner's hats or something. I thought you'd have that going.
I should have just put the
headlights on the mower.
Don't start me on it. I'm disappointed in myself.
Just do a triple cut. Start high and go low.
I'll bruise the leaf too much if I cut too much.
I tell you, who did get in the door yesterday was the West Melbourne group in the Hyundai A-League expansion discussion. The FFA gave the tick of approval to MacArthur Southwest Sydney Consortium and the West Melbourne group as well. Steve Horvat was a part of that, and I'm sure he's still celebrating after the news yesterday. He joined us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Steve. Well done.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, guys. Looks like there's a lot going on there, but obviously there's a lot going on in our world as well.
All right, no doubt there's a lot going on in your world. Trust me, there's plenty happening here. There's kids, there's people, we're waking people up left, right and centre. There's neighbours popping in. It's unbelievable. But your world is very, very exciting now because you've been given the tick of approval and you've got one of the expansion teams in the A-League. Did you think you'd get it? Because there's a lot of discussion that Team 11 was the one to beat and you guys have come in with a late charge and nabbed them on the line.
Yeah, look, I think from day one our conviction was about delivering something that's not only going to be amazing for the club, but it's actually going to be a game changer for the sport in our country. You know, we are going to deliver a privately funded, privately owned, football-only facility in Melbourne. And, you know, really, it's not only a first for our sport, but probably a first for elite sport in this country, because for once, the game will not just be another tenant of another stadium and another facility, but be able to dictate how the game is shaped, how the game is played, and to actually create a fan engagement and a match day experience second to none. So that was really at the heart of our journey and why we started 2 years ago. It was always our goal. We were not just interested in being another A-League team and another A-League license, but it was really the whole package that got us excited. And, you know, without Wyndham Council and their vision to join us, getting on board about 18 months ago, it wouldn't have happened. So we thank them and we're excited for the future.
Steve, you say privately funded. The track record of that in Australia is not great. Where is this coming from and when would the stadium be built?
Well, look, it's all local investment. It's not overseas investment. So that's a big tick and that was a big factor in getting the deal over the line. We're having a press conference today at Wyndham Council, but we will hold our own press conference in the new year where we'll start to give more details and start talking about name, colours, identity of the club and so forth. But basically, the parcel of land is on Sayers Road in Tarneit, and it's owned by Wyndham Council. So it's ideal for us. As soon as we get permits approved, we've got the plans done. As soon as we get the permits approved, we're ready to turn soil. So we look to be playing our first game in our new stadium in Season 3. So we kick off in October 2019, and then by Season 3, we'll be playing in our own stadium.
So, Steve, what was your sell to the FFA? Because you speak about not being just, you know, your typical A-League club. What's going to be different about the Western Melbourne team?
Well, look, obviously, they are looking to grow the game. And it was important to locate ourselves in obviously one of the biggest growth corridors, not only in Victoria, in this country. When you look at, you know, what's going on in the West and Wyndham and Melton and these sort of regions, it's quite phenomenal. You can literally be in one location and come back 6 months later and there's a new suburb that's popped up. So, you know, it was really important for the FFA to understand that. And once they finally understood the potential of the region, they knew that, you know, that's where young families are going. That's where families who are migrating to this country are going. So they're football fans. They're passionate fans about our game. And that's what we wanted to deliver, not only to the league, but to our new club. And obviously, you know, we needed to find a location that was able to accommodate us as well. And the two just fit perfectly with our vision at Wyndham City Council.
So in the short term, there's been suggestions that you'll play your home games at Cadinia Park, and that may or may not happen. So I'm interested in your thoughts on that. But also just your base, before it's actually built, which is going to take a couple of years, where will you be situated?
Well, we're looking at, we're obviously going to be located in the heart of Wyndham. We've already got a couple of options for training venues, but we really want to concentrate on engaging in the community and being a presence in the community. Obviously, we need to play our games elsewhere. So, you know, the only viable option really to actually create a decent match day experience was to look at Cadinia Park. And obviously, you guys would know that the new stand that was opened at the start of this year is fantastic. And look, FFA did their due diligence and visited with us and gave it the tick of approval. So it was really important until we have that, you know, 15,000-18,000 boutique stadium built, that the match day experience was not going to suffer. So that's why it's important to be at a world-class facility like Cadinia Park.
That was the best of The Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.